This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Tuesday. Missouri is a big day for you. I hope that it's lunchtime right now. There are a lot of people right now getting into their cars, going to vote at lunchtime in the state of Missouri. You have so many great options to choose from. It's a big day. I've got the whole crew in here right now because Will Sharpe's going to come in and finish the 12 o'clock hour out with us. And I wanted to get Ryan in here because we're going to push Wiggins America to the 2 o'clock hour. So we're all in here. What is the biggest race that you're looking to see unfold today, Ryan?
Well, AG's one of them, so it's good that we had Bailey on yesterday. We'll have Will on today.
They're both great candidates.
They're both good.
We had Bailey on yesterday. Will on today.
Yeah. I was just saying before this, and I think I talked to a few people around the office yesterday. Who's the front runners? People are going, we don't know. That's what's so interesting about today's primary is that there doesn't seem to be in these big marquee races. And to answer your question, to me, the biggest one is still governor because we don't know. I mean, we do not know who's going to win that race.
How dramatically does the state of Missouri take one direction or the other? And listen, I know you're listening to the show. You are in Missouri and you are passionately behind one of these candidates. And just as a word of encouragement to you, all good things, all positive vibes, that where the state of Missouri will be with a Republican nominee tomorrow, you guys are infinitely ahead of everyone else, and your ability to hold your representatives and elected officials accountable, it's exceedingly envious of it.
And remember, Donald Trump endorsed all three of these guys.
So he just endorsed Missouri.
Yeah. So if he had a problem with one of them, he would have said so. You know he would have.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, too, because he endorsed both Will Sharpe and Andrew Bailey. I think that's because it's close. I don't always think Donald Trump is trying to help people win as much as he wants credit for the winners.
Absolutely. 100%.
He's just trying to hedge his bets. I get it politically, but he doesn't want it. Yeah, everybody said, like, the entire leftist media, if he endorses one person over the other and the other person wins, they just blame it on him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw some story about a random race in the middle of nowhere that he endorsed a candidate. And this is like within the last couple of days, who then lost, and then he had to endorse the person who replaced him. And it was like scandal.
It just literally happens in every cycle, every time.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Donald Trump, I don't think this is a secret, Donald Trump loves winning. And he wants you to be tired of winning. He loves it so much. So the fact that he's going to endorse these candidates, again, back to the original point here, that you've got great candidates in Missouri. To your question, though, Annie, what's going to be different if one candidate wins over another, especially in the governor's race? I would, and this isn't a perfect comparison, but let's say you had a Ron DeSantis in Florida who was not as good at going out and being Ron DeSantis in the media. I think that's your difference, is that you might have pretty similar policies, but that some of them are going to be able to sort of trumpet those policies differently than others. And that doesn't mean they're all lined up perfectly on those policies, but they're all conservative. And that is a good thing that you're basically voting for, hopefully, the eventual governor today.
Well, in this state of Missouri, of course, the headline news is going to be a little bit different than most other places. The headline in most other places is the announcement of a vice presidential candidate for Kamala Harris. Now, Tim Walz, and I'm going to be honest, I've been watching this news all morning. I forgot what his first name was until I looked down at the paper.
Tim.
I have noticed his name is spelled W-A-L-Z. That the only way that I can remember how to say it, because it could be Waltz. It's missing a T.
Mm-hmm.
Walz, whatever. And I literally heard them say it enough. I thought to myself, okay, it rhymes with one of our number one listeners, Balls. on Twitter and on the YouTube. He's always there. He's been there forever. And he spells his name with a Z. And I thought, I have to remember that.
Okay.
They're probably one and the same, just like each other.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. I wonder if we could say build the Walz now.
Build the Walz. No.
Yeah, I don't think he's for that.
Maybe that's the play. That would be the first part of this pick to me that made sense. We're going to learn a little bit about Tim Walz here. He's the governor of Minnesota. Before we get to his resume from a Fox News reporter, Brian Yenes, he gave a great run through of this, and we're going to watch this. It's like 4 minutes, so we'll probably come in and out of it. But if you want to know who he is, we've got that for you. Brian Yenes did a great setup for him. Here's Jason Chaffetz this morning, because he worked with him on Tim Walz.
Yeah, and he wasn't he the guy 2-3 weeks ago who emerged from the White House having spent more than an hour with Joe Biden, said, all's fine. He's great. He's in great shape. He's the right guy to go run for president. So, and for Nancy Pelosi to say he's middle of the road, I'm sorry. I served in Congress with Tim Walz. I've spent time with the man. Nice guy, but he is so far liberal left. He middle of the road for San Francisco, but not middle of the road for America. Go explain to America what you mean by, oh, yeah, I want to make sure that, you know, the state takes control over your children if they want to go change their gender when they're minors. This is the type of radical left that they are trying to paint as middle of America. And it's not.
I was shocked when I had the headline. I'm laying in bed. I'm reading articles, getting ready for the show this morning. And the Fox News alert comes across the top of my phone notification. Scroll down. I'm like, oh, there's a pick. And I've been dreading Shapiro being picked. And I clicked on it. And I'm alone in my house, except for my Australian Shepherd, Rosie, who is laying on the bed. Open up the article and I go, what? And Rosie like picks up her head and looks at me. And then she just put her head back down. And I thought, yeah, hopefully that's what America does. All right. So let's get to the Brian Yenes report here on who Tim Walz is, what he brings to the ticket. Let's listen in.
Yeah, a lot going on indeed. And you know what? No one's more surprised than the folks here in Pennsylvania who thought that their governor, Josh Shapiro, was indeed the front runner to be Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate. Instead, he is scheduled to join the stage tonight here in Philadelphia to support a rally that is instead for Harris and her pick, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Harris taking to X, posting this, quote, I am proud to announce that I've asked Tim Walz to be my running mate as a governor, a coach, a teacher, and a veteran. He's delivered for working families like his. It's great to have him on the team. Now let's get to work. Join us. Walz also posting on X, quote, it is the honor of a lifetime to join Harris in this campaign. I'm all in. Vice President Harris is showing us the politics of what's possible. It reminds me a bit of the first day of school. So let's get this done, folks. Join us. Walz was endorsed by the progressives in the Democratic Party, like Senator Bernie Sanders and the United Auto Workers Union. He's recently famous for coining the attack line, calling former President Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance weird.
So there's an interesting thing. The whole word weird became a political buzzword, apparently, according to this guy. Now, I find it interesting that if you were to paint the picture of a Midwestern old white guy, like if you were going to try to out-dad J.D. Vance as Midwestern white dude, Tim Walz is the depiction of this guy. You know he's got some New Balance up in there. I do too. I wear New Balance too. I love New Balance. But he looks like the old white guy that I thought was the proverbial enemy of the Democratic Party. He's the one who first put out the weird question. Our poll for today on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll is, who's weird? Republicans, Democrats, both, or neither? So we want to know from you who you think is actually weird, and we're going to get into that conversation here in a little bit. Let's listen to more from Brian Yenes of Fox
News. And he's seen as a plain-speaking Midwesterner who could potentially help win over some blue-collar voters in critical battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. He served six terms in Congress, and notably, he was governor of Minnesota during the George Floyd riots, in which he himself characterized the response to the destructive riots as, quote, an abject failure. Expect Republicans to exploit more progressive laws that were signed by Wall as governor of Minnesota, like, for instance, his first executive order established a DEI council. He signed an executive order guaranteeing gender-affirming care for transgender youth, a bill guaranteeing abortion rights, free college tuition, as well as signing a free universal school meals bill. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Walz is right down the middle, but the Trump campaign, well, they're on the attack.
So there you have it. You have a very good depiction of what Brian Yenes is bringing to the table about Tim Walz. I keep forgetting his first name. I don't know this guy.
Tim.
Yeah. Walz.
Just Tim.
I have a theory. Like my theories?
I usually do.
You sound sad.
I'm disappointed that I do, but I do.
Do you guys understand that Kamala Harris was nominated officially yesterday by a virtual vote?
Yeah.
She's the nominee.
Yeah.
So that part is over. Any sort of business that is attended to at the convention is going to be ceremonial. So they nominated Kamala Harris. They didn't know who the vice president was going to be when they nominated Kamala Harris. And that all took place virtually yesterday. So the actual DNC convention is like the 19th. I think it starts the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's a ways away. Today's the 6th. They would have had to wait that long. That's not unintentional. I looked it up here. July 15th is when Reuters initially reported that they would have a virtual vote. They said that there was a question about the Ohio ballot. They said that there was, they wanted to make sure Ohio had changed its ballots to make sure that that Joe Biden could be included. But just to be super certain, because they had fixed the problem, but they said just to be super certain, we're going to nominate Biden virtually so there's no challenges possible. July 15th, Reuters reports that they are going to nominate Joe Biden on a virtual vote. July 21st, Biden drops out. There is no way in hell that they did not know on July 15th that Joe Biden was not going to be the nominee. They knew. And if you look at the fact that Josh Shapiro is not the guy who's on the ticket, I mean, why in the world do you not try to win Pennsylvania? The presidency goes through Pennsylvania. It's 20 electoral votes off the top of my head. You need Pennsylvania. You have to have it. Shapiro is wildly popular. Why do you not pick the obvious choice for the ticket? There are suggestions that Shapiro declined. There are suggestions that should there have been a primary or the potential to challenge the nominee at the convention, where you would allow at least the delegates who had been voted in favor for Joe Biden and Joe Biden release those delegates to do what they want, there is a possibility that Shapiro could have been more popular than Kamala Harris and potentially at said convention scoop the nomination up from her.
Oh,
there is a lot of suggestions out there that Shapiro is more popular than Kamala Harris is, that he would be more liked than Kamala Harris was, so that the idea of putting them on the same ticket is not good for Kamala Harris. My opinion is that on July 15th, when Reuters reported that they were going to virtually nominate Joe Biden, they weren't talking about Joe Biden at all. That they were talking about Kamala Harris, and that they knew that they would have to get this virtual, you know, oh, we're just going to make sure that we virtually get the nomination for Joe Biden locked in, just to be super certain. Because Ohio, you're not going to win Ohio. You don't even need to play for those electoral votes. Ohio's not going blue. I think they did this so they could have the nomination, whomever it was going to be, Kamala or whomever else, have the nomination locked up so you couldn't do anything at the convention. Because if you have a contested convention, it would tear the Democrat Party apart.
Well, whatever it is, it's about saving democracy.
Shut up.
So whatever has to go on behind the scenes to save democracy so that people don't have to vote, I'm in support of that.
I kind of want to go back to that July 15th day or whatever when we reported on it, because I kind of remember being like, that's weird.
They've been talking about that for a while because of the Ohio thing. I don't know. I really think Joe Biden, of course, I was saying this right up until July 21st, that Joe Biden was going to stay in the race. I think he thought he was going to stay in the race.
He still thinks he's in the race.
Well, you know what? That's a darn good point.
Democracy, right?
It's all about democracy.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Will Scharf, our friend, in studio with us. It's Election Day, Missouri. You know that. You're voting. Would love to have your feedback on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. If you want to talk to us about where you think that this election day is going to go. We've got great coverage for you tonight. Can you talk about that real quick? Can you give me 30 seconds
absolutely.
On our coverage this evening?
So Mark Reardon is doing his show as normal. Then he will take over at 7 as the primary, as voting closes. And he will be with you all through the evening with a ton of guests, lots of experts coming in, up-to-the-minute reports constantly as we get results throughout the entire evening.
Yeah, we got you covered right here. So stick your radio to 97.1. Don't go away. We'll be back in studio here with Will Scharf, and we love taking your questions when Will comes in. He's not afraid of any of them. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Election Day, Missouri. It is Missouri Primary Election Day. Finally, August 6th. It felt like this day would never get here. And I can't wait to hear the results tonight as you...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to vote. A lot of you probably out in your car right now, headed to vote or coming back from voting. Good for you for participating in the system. You have an amazing list of options in front of you. One of those is Will Scharf, and he's in studio with us right now. Will, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Annie. This was my first ever radio interview when I left the U.S. Attorney's Office, so I'm glad that my last in-studio interview before primary day concludes is with y'all, ending things right where
yes,
we started.
Thank you so much. I remember... I mean, I am on Twitter at weird hours at night, and I remember reading your first thread, and was it about crime and police?
Yeah, it was about crime in St. Louis and just how messed up a situation it is and the real dangers that police officers face on the streets, which I still continue to believe most people don't fully understand just how dangerous a job it is to be a police officer, especially in a city like St. Louis. And that blew up. You guys mm-hmm. had me in, and I think I announced a couple weeks later for AG. But yeah, it's been a wild ride. You know, we've been all over the state. We've driven 57,000 miles since the start of this campaign, met with literally tens of thousands of people, hundreds of speeches, hundreds of TV appearances. It's been crazy. It's been humbling. I won't say that I'm just excited for it to be over. We're hoping to pull down a big win tonight. But one way or the other, I'm really glad that we did this, and it's just been an incredible experience. Well, I've obviously never run for office before, so all of this was totally new to me.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch this unfold. And meanwhile, you're running for Missouri Attorney General. You just like dabbled in some attorney opportunity with Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. I said to one of my campaign guys the other night, you know, if I hadn't been running for AG, I probably wouldn't have been as aggressive trying to insert myself into really the Trump campaign at first. And then I started writing and doing media appearances on all of his cases. And I think that's really why my team here in Missouri ended up getting hired by the president. And, you know, we're hyper-aggressive Missouri lawyers, constitutional lawyers. We came up with the presidential immunity theory, which ended up winning at the Supreme Court last month.
Pause for a second and think about what you just said.
Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy thing that, you know, one way or the other, I think this campaign changed history. And it was a great honor to get to represent Trump. It was a bigger honor to get to win for him in front of the Supreme Court time after time after time. And it's just, this has been the craziest year and a half of my life. I hope I never have a year and a half like this. My hairline keeps receding further and further back.
You don't need it.
As everybody on Twitter reminds me almost every day, like I am a prematurely balding 38-year-old man.
It's always good to go to Twitter to get some, you know, humbling judgment and reflection.
They are so mean to me on Twitter. We also have like wonderful supporters on Twitter and just the best people in real life too. But yeah, you know, you have to understand that if you put yourself in the political space, you open yourself up to really vicious personal attacks. And I would just say to everybody on the ballot, to everyone who put their name on the ballot, who put themselves into the public sphere, you know, congratulations. It's not an easy step to take. It's not an easy process. I've made incredible friends with some of the other folks who are running statewide or for state rep or state senate districts. It's a trial by fire sort of situation. And I'm just proud of the campaign that we've built, the incredible grassroots supporters we have all over the state. It's been humbling. It's been amazing. And I'm glad that today is finally election day. And to all of your listeners, if you haven't voted yet, you have to get out to the polls and vote. I know it's 90 degrees. I was standing at a polling location in St. Charles from 6 a.m. until just a short while ago. You have to get out and vote. It is so important that we set this state in a more positive, more conservative direction for the future. And this is really our only opportunity, potentially for almost a decade, to do that.
You know, we got Will Scharf in studio with us right now. He's a candidate for Missouri Attorney General. He's also a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri. He's been an attorney for Donald Trump and many of the legal challenges that Donald Trump has been facing here due to the lawfare of the current Biden Justice Department. If you step back, I mean, you know this on a state level. You're running for statewide office. You have been very up close and personal with the Trump team, more on the legal side, but certainly you've seen the campaign operation there. With everything that you know, where do you feel like the temperature is, the mood is of the American citizen right now? Because, of course, they're voters. But how do Americans feel right now in this moment that does happen to be a few months away from Election Day?
I think Americans are scared. You know, we saw this incredible stock market collapse yesterday, which I think speaks to everybody's just real fears about what's going on in the world. We have a massive inflation problem in this country. We have a real problem with energy production and supply because of the Biden administration's failed policies. And then day by day, we just see the world exploding. I mean, we're about to see, I hope to God it doesn't happen, but it looks like it will, another major regional war break out in the Middle East. We've obviously seen Russia and Ukraine. China is getting increasingly threatening towards Taiwan. When you think about failures of leadership, the Biden-Harris administration has just failed on so many fronts that the world has become a much more dangerous, threatening place in a way that I think impacts Americans at a very personal level. I think the reason that Donald Trump is going to win is that even for people who don't love his personality, who don't love the mean tweets or whatever, under President Trump, the world was relatively peaceful. Our economy was strong. Our country was doing well. Our border was secure. Today, it's the opposite. And I think that all the window dressing they can put on it, and the media has this tremendous honeymoon right now with Kamala Harris, and she just rolled out this communist from Minnesota as her new running mate. I mean, the media is treating them with kid gloves, but I think the American people see through it for the simple reason that they understand they were far better off in 2019 than they are today. And the reason for that is you just had a much better president in the White House. So given the choice of giving Kamala another 4 years of the failed Biden administration or putting President Trump and J.D. Vance back in there, I think the American people are going to overwhelmingly choose Trump.
Do you know J.D. Vance?
Yeah, you know, I don't know him like very well, but mm-hmm. we've known each other for a while.
Is
actually.
He weird?
No, he's a great guy. He's brilliant.
What if he had said yes?
I wouldn't want to know. You heard it here.
No, I mean, he's a brilliant guy. He can be deeply cerebral at times. One of the things I admire the most about him is, and you know, some politicians are very scripted and very staged. The reason the Democrats are sort of attacking him this way is that JD for years has been willing to go on any platform to do these long form interviews talking about issues that are deeply important to him. And some of those views may, you know, to some people seem like not what other politicians believe. But I think JD's worldview really matches that of the American people. You know, he wants America to be strong, but doesn't want America to be involved in foreign wars. He wants American families to be strong. He wants American workers to be able to get good jobs that allow them to provide for their families. These are deeply rooted American values that may be foreign and weird to the left, to the coastal elites, to the, you know, the press, to the all of these folks who are criticizing him. But to most Americans, I think JD stands up for what we all believe in.
Why? Tim Wallace is apparently the one who first put the weird thing out there. I mean, my opinion is when they call J.D. Vance weird, it's not really my opinion. I could prove it with facts. That then became a moniker. Instead of calling us ultra-MAGA Republicans or whatever, now they just simplify it by saying weird. And, you know, I have seen and read comments from and noticed that the people on the left, it's almost fetish-like how much they enjoy calling normies who are, like, not trolling on Twitter during the day because they're at work, you know, these types of basic American principles by calling them weird. And it's just too easy to be like, the other side is the weird side here. What is behind this whole weird idea?
I think in many respects, with JD in particular, it's rooted in jealousy. I mean, this is a guy who the left would view as a victim, grew up in, you know, relatively crushing rural poverty, joined the Marines, went to Ohio State University, went to Yale Law School, built an incredible career for himself in law and business, wrote an obviously a New York Times multi bestseller, and now has been very successful in politics. And on the side, he's built a wonderful, loving family with his, you know, his wife and his children. And I think a lot of these people on the left look at that and they almost seethe with rage and jealousy that this is a guy who, in their mind, should believe the things that they believe because he's sort of the elite now. He should never, in their mind, have been able to make it as far as he did. And yet he's proof positive that America is still an incredible land of opportunity. And that if we just get out of people's way, if the government doesn't try to, you know, step in and just fix every problem and instead lets people take advantage of the opportunities that are out there, that people can be successful and that families can thrive. And that a guy like J.D. Vance can rise to become, you know, the vice presidential nominee of mm-hmm. a major political party. The weirdest thing in American politics by far today is Kamala Harris's weird laugh. I mean, that's what they don't want to talk about, that this is a person who's deeply awkward in her own skin. And everything about, frankly, her family situation is almost the opposite of JD's. I mean, these revelations about her husband having an affair that resulted in a baby and the baby is sort of missing. I mean, the fact that the press isn't applying the same scrutiny to every aspect of Kamala Harris's life that they're applying to J.D. Vance's life really speaks to the double standard that exists throughout American society when it comes to the right versus the left.
Yeah. I think that the Kamala Harris thing, I don't think anybody wants to listen to anybody else's laugh forever and ever. Like, any laugh can get annoying after a while, but it's the timing.
Yeah.
It's like, she laughs instead of saying words, and the words she says, boy, they don't usually make sense unless they are,
you know,
very specific.
We have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, but this is what she believes. I think the most telling moment of Kamala Harris's term as vice president was the time when she was asked, have you gone to the border? And she sort of laughed it off and then said, I haven't been to Europe either. And to me, that speaks to the fact that she doesn't understand why people are concerned about the border. Yeah. She doesn't understand the felt effect that people are seeing in their own communities of these unchecked immigration policies, these waves and waves of migrants taking jobs and bringing crime and all kinds of other social ills along with them, especially from countries that really are our enemies. I mean, this is a huge problem. England is obviously on fire today because of a similar problem. To Kamala Harris, it's inconceivable that anybody would question her commitment to really anything, or that anyone would call her out on her own failures, because throughout her life, the press and the liberal elites and the folks on the left have always sort of paved the way for her, and any sort of accountability for her actual decisions and her actual time in office to her is just a sort of foreign concept. That's why her campaign is preventing her from doing long form interviews. That's why her campaign isn't allowing her to take questions on the stump, because Kamala Harris is so alienated, I believe, from what normal Americans believe, that if they were to allow her to be unscripted, this would turn into even more of an electoral bloodbath than I think it's going to be.
Yeah, she's like a computer software system that you can't update anymore. Like, it kind of makes sense, but it doesn't work with everything. When you listen to her talking, this is in March of 2021 about the border. This is what she had to say.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
So, yeah, it's funny. It's always funny to her. She gets asked again in a follow-up the next day, March 24th of 21, about the same issue. And
you and the president be going down to the border anytime soon?
At some point, absolutely, we will go down to the border, and I've been down to the border. And our Secretary of the Homeland Security, Alex Mayorkas, has been down there twice. Senior administration officials have been down there. And yes, we will go.
So they talk about needing to go to the border. That was a major issue in March of 2021. This is months.
Yeah.
After, like, 2 months, February, March, after they would have been in office. In March of 2021, it was identified that the border was a key issue. This is after she was asked earlier in an interview if she would go down to the border, and she said she hadn't been there, and that was when she told us, oh, and she also hasn't been to Europe. Like, list all the places you haven't been to explain why you haven't been to the southern border.
It's insane, and again, it speaks to the fact that folks on the left never want to be held accountable for their own actions. I mean, you look at the ticket they've assembled. So you have the governor of Minnesota, who basically said that it was okay for people to riot and burn Minnesota to the ground in the summer of 2020. And then you have Kamala Harris, who was posting bail money for those rioters. I mean, these are not the values that most Americans, that normal Americans hold. The idea that unchecked rioting in our streets is somehow a social good. It's not. It's terrible. Lives were ruined. Businesses were burned. People were killed. Here in St. Louis, we obviously saw the tragic death of David Dorn, a highly regarded retired police captain. I mean, this community was torn apart by exactly that sort of rioting. And yet Kamala Harris and her new running mate think that that's exactly the sort of thing that should go on in America. And to me, that's just terrifying.
We got Will Scharf in studio with us right now. Of course, it is Election Day in the state of Missouri. It is primary day. Make sure you get to your precinct and vote. Be heard. Today is the day. Will Scharf is running for attorney general, and he's in here discussing that among all of the things politics with us. And he's going to stick around for another segment. Is that
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
All right. I see a few questions coming in on the YouTube live chat as well. So we'll get to those when we come back. If you go visit the chat, vote in the poll today. Who's weird? Republicans? Democrats? Both or neither? We want to know what you think. We'll be right back.
The right to vote is under attack in very specific ways in lots of states, especially in some of the deep South states, especially in Florida, which I just returned from. There's just unbelievable stuff going on there. Like, if you have to send a mail-in ballot, or absentee ballot, you have to have you can only have it taken to the mailbox or the polls by a member of your nuclear family who lives with you. Okay. So there's just a million traps for the unwary that are being set across the country.
Jamie Raskin there, very concerned about voting issues in Florida. Yeah, that's why you're losing Florida, Raskin. We got Will Sharpe in studio here, and I wanted to set up this clip with you, Will, because I had put this out there based on this clip. We're all going to hear Jamie Raskin say something pretty ridiculous about the Supreme Court ruling. And I remember when the immunity thing came through, like the president himself and people all around him, President Biden and all of his folks were like, you know, you could like shoot your opponent. You could kill, you could go take your opponent out. And then what happened? Somebody goes and shoots Donald Trump. I mean, I think that they say these things that we should take them very seriously. This is what he just said about
going
the Supreme
on right
Court.
Now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means. And
Will Sharpe, what do you think that Jamie Raskin is saying when he speaks that way?
Well, so let's be very clear. The Supreme Court looked at the disqualification issue under the 14th Amendment this year, and they ruled 9-0. I mean, I was there. It was 9-0 that President Trump was not disqualified. Now, could Congress choose to reject electoral votes and declare someone to be an insurrectionist? Could they pass legislation potentially to implement that and have Joe Biden sign it with his sort of last breath in office? Yeah, they could, but that would be the end of the republic. And I think even normal Democrats understand that. I think Jamie Raskin is such a radical leftist and so consumed with hate for Trump, for Americans, for Republicans, that he just doesn't get it. But I hope to God that other Democrats aren't thinking the way that he is, because if we get to a point where Congress is just declaring people insurrectionists without there ever having been a criminal case, a criminal conviction, anything like that, and deciding who can and can't take office, if the left feels themselves to be empowered enough to make decisions for the American people about the future of our republic, that will be the end of the republic. For all the left's talk about respecting norms, they are the ones who time after time after time have run roughshod over every constitutional norm that we have. And that's why we've gotten to the point we're in today, where a former president is being prosecuted by the current president, his principal political rival, in cases across America that aren't worth the paper that they're printed on. That's why we see all of the dysfunction and disorder in Washington, D.C., and in so many state capitals as well. Our system is not as healthy as it was even just a decade ago because of the damage that the left has done to it. They want to steal elections. They want unverified absentee ballots flooding the system because they see that as a pathway to win. And the modern left believes in one thing and one thing only, which is advancing the cause of leftism. And everything else is incidental. Everything else is just a stumbling block. The Constitution, the rule of law, the Bill of Rights, they don't care about any of that stuff as soon as it gets in the way of their plan to advance the cause of leftism. And that's what's so dangerous about people like Congressman Raskin.
Why do they hate Trump so much?
Because he proved them wrong. I mean, they view him as like this sort of vulgar celebrity figure who, of course, would never
be
elected president. They
celebrate vulgar celebrity figures. They invite them to their campaign rallies.
But remember, it was Hillary Clinton, and she was throwing this massive party in this huge ballroom with a glass ceiling. And this was going to be the left's moment of triumph, that Hillary Clinton was going to lock in all of their successes of the Obama years. She was going to appoint Justice Scalia's replacement on the court. They were going to take permanent control of America. But unfortunately, Hillary Clinton was so blinded by her own ego that she never campaigned in Wisconsin. and she never campaigned in Michigan. Mm. And Trump spoke to a legion of American voters who didn't usually come out to the polls, but who saw something in him that they hadn't seen in politicians previously, which was just a degree of honesty, a willingness to speak about issues that really mattered to them, and a sense of realism about the serious challenges facing our country from issues like trade and immigration and the border. The left will never forgive Donald Trump because he beat them when they didn't expect to be beaten.
Mm. Real quick, we only got like a minute or two here left. Ryan, maybe a question or two from our audience.
Yeah, this is from Brian on the live chat. It's about your campaign, Willie. He says, what does Will offer that Bailey doesn't offer? And did you work for Biden like the ad says?
No, I never worked for Joe Biden.
Are you Joe Biden's communications manager?
No. So, first of all, the idea that Trump would hire as his lawyer in the most important cases of his life some Biden guy is laughable.
The judge was.
I was hired into the U.S. Department of Justice under Trump as a line federal prosecutor in the violent crime unit here in St. Louis. I only ever served under Trump appointees. The Biden folks never replaced my office's leadership. Hmm. Otherwise, I probably would have been fired. The last time I was at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. was for the Barrett confirmation in the fall of 2020 when I worked to get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed to the Supreme Court. So what they're saying is that because I was a federal prosecutor while Biden was president, that somehow that makes me a Biden crony. The rough equivalent would be
a little of a stretch.
Well, the rough equivalent would be if I said that Andrew Bailey, who served in the Army while Obama was president, that means that Andrew Bailey is an Obama DOD guy, an Obama Department of Defense guy. It doesn't make any sense. It's a silly political hit. Unfortunately, that's the season that we're living in, though. They can't actually attack my record. So instead, they could just kind of make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what I offer that Andrew Bailey doesn't, what we've seen from the Bailey administration over and over and over again is a highly effective press operation, but an absolutely failing legal operation. Yesterday, they lost 9-0 at the U.S. Supreme Court on this case that they brought against New York to try to help out President Trump. They lost what Bailey called the most important First Amendment case in history, Murthy v. Missouri, at the Supreme Court 6-3 just last month. This is an administration that is failing. My record is of winning at the highest levels, of putting together teams of lawyers who know how to bring and win cases. That's what I want to do in the Missouri Attorney General's office. We need an AG who's actually going to protect our rights, who's going to be able to step into the breach on the crucial issues that are facing our state in the future. We need an attorney general who knows how to win. And right now that office is failing.
Will Scharf, it's been such a pleasure to have you in leading up to this moment. And regardless of what happens today, and people, you need to go out and vote today. Today's the primary. We want you back in as soon as possible. So thank you for being with us today.
Great to be with you guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be watching the results very closely tonight. All right, stick around. Jim Carafano is going to tell us what's going on in the Middle East. When we come back, don't go away.
The right to vote is under attack in very specific ways in lots of states, especially in some of the deep South states, especially in Florida, which I just returned from. There's just unbelievable stuff going on there. Like if you have to send a mail-in ballot or absentee ballot, you have to have you can only have it taken to the mailbox or the polls by a member of your nuclear family who lives with you. Okay, so there's just a million traps for the unwary that are being set across the country.
Jamie Raskin there, very concerned about voting issues in Florida. Yeah, that's why you're losing Florida, Raskin. We got Will Scharf in studio here, and I wanted to set up this clip with you, Will, because I had put this out there based on this clip. We're all going to hear Jamie Raskin say something pretty ridiculous about the Supreme Court ruling. And I remember when the immunity thing came through, like the president himself and people all around him, President Biden and all of his folks were like, you know, you could like shoot your opponent. You could kill, you could go take your opponent out. And then what happened? Somebody goes and shoots Donald Trump. I mean, I think that they say these things that we should take them very seriously. This is what he just said about
going
the Supreme
on right
Court.
Now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so You know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
Will Scharf, what do you think that Jamie Raskin is saying when he speaks that way?
Well, so let's be very clear. The Supreme Court looked at the disqualification issue under the 14th Amendment this year, and they ruled 9-0. I mean, I was there. It was 9-0 that President Trump was not disqualified. Now, could Congress choose to reject electoral votes and declare someone to be an insurrectionist? Could they pass legislation potentially to implement that and have Joe Biden sign it with his sort of last breath in office? Yeah, they could, but that would be the end of the republic. And I think even normal Democrats understand that. I think Jamie Raskin is such a radical leftist and so consumed with hate for Trump, for Americans, for Republicans, that he just doesn't get it. But I hope to God that other Democrats aren't thinking the way that he is, because if we get to a point where Congress is just declaring people insurrectionists without there ever having been a criminal case, a criminal conviction, anything like that, and deciding who can and can't take office, if the left feels themselves to be empowered enough to make decisions for the American people about the future of our republic, that will be the end of the republic. For all the left's talk about respecting norms, they are the ones who time after time after time have run roughshod over every constitutional norm that we have. And that's why we've gotten to the point we're in today, where a former president is being prosecuted by the current president, his principal political rival, in cases across America that aren't worth the paper that they're printed on. That's why we see all of the dysfunction and disorder in Washington, D.C., and in so many state capitals as well. Our system is not as healthy as it was even just a decade ago because of the damage that the left has done to it. They want to steal elections. They want unverified absentee ballots flooding the system because they see that as a pathway to win. And the modern left believes in one thing and one thing only, which is advancing the cause of leftism. And everything else is incidental. Everything else is just a stumbling block. The Constitution, the rule of law, the Bill of Rights, they don't care about any of that stuff as soon as it gets in the way of their plan to advance the cause of leftism. And that's what's so dangerous about people like Congressman Raskin.
Why do they hate Trump so much?
Because he proved them wrong. I mean, they view him as like this sort of vulgar celebrity figure who, of course, would never be elected president.
They celebrate vulgar celebrity figures. They invite them to their campaign rallies.
But remember, it was Hillary Clinton, and she was throwing this massive party in this huge ballroom with a glass ceiling. And this was going to be the left's moment of triumph, that Hillary Clinton was going to lock in all of their successes of the Obama years. She was going to appoint Justice Scalia's replacement on the court. They were going to take permanent control of America. But unfortunately, Hillary Clinton was so blinded by her own ego that she never campaigned in Wisconsin, and she never campaigned in Michigan. And Trump spoke to a legion of American voters who didn't usually come out to the polls, but who saw something in him that they hadn't seen in politicians previously, which was just a degree of honesty, a willingness to speak about issues that really mattered to them, and a sense of realism about the serious challenges facing our country from issues like trade and immigration and the border. The left will never forgive Donald Trump because he beat them when they didn't expect to be beaten.
Real quick, we only got like a minute or two here left. Ryan, maybe a question or two from our audience.
Yeah, this is from Brian on the live chat. It's about your campaign, Willie. He says, what does Will offer that Bailey doesn't offer? And did you work for Biden like the ad says?
No, I never worked for Joe Biden.
Are you Joe Biden's communications manager?
No. So, first of all, the idea that Trump would hire as his lawyer in the most important cases of his life some Biden guy is laughable.
The judge was.
I was hired into the U.S. Department of Justice under Trump as a line federal prosecutor in the violent crime unit here in St. Louis. I only ever served under Trump appointees. The Biden folks never replaced my office's leadership. Otherwise, I probably would have been fired. The last time I was at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. was for the Barrett confirmation in the fall of 2020 when I worked to get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed to the Supreme Court. So what they're saying is that because I was a federal prosecutor while Biden was president, that somehow that makes me a Biden crony. The rough equivalent would be
a little of a stretch.
Well, the rough equivalent would be if I said that Andrew Bailey, who served in the Army while Obama was president, that means that Andrew Bailey is an Obama DOD guy, an Obama Department of Defense guy. It doesn't make any sense. It's a silly political hit. Unfortunately, that's the season that we're living in, though. They can't actually attack my record. So instead, they could just kind of make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what I offer that Andrew Bailey doesn't, what we've seen from the Bailey administration over and over and over again is a highly effective press operation, but an absolutely failing legal operation. Yesterday, they lost 9-0 at the U.S. Supreme Court on this case that they brought against New York to try to help out President Trump. They lost what Bailey called the most important First Amendment case in history, Murthy v. Missouri, at the Supreme Court 6-3 just last month. This is an administration that is failing. My record is of winning at the highest levels, of putting together teams of lawyers who know how to bring and win cases. That's what I want to do in the Missouri Attorney General's office. We need an AG who's actually going to protect our rights, who's going to be able to step into the breach on the crucial issues that are facing our state in the future. We need an attorney general who knows how to win. And right now that office is failing.
Will Scharf, it's been such a pleasure to have you in leading up to this moment. And regardless of what happens today, and people, you need to go out and vote today. Today's the primary. We want you back in as soon as possible. So thank you for being with us today.
Great to be with you guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be watching the results very closely tonight. All right, stick around. Jim Carafano is going to tell us what's going on in the Middle East when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.